Good morning.
Good
How y'all
morning.
doing? Welcome back. I
Good morning.
hope everyone's doing well. Is ready for a short week?
Yes, I'm
Not
ready
bad.
for some turkey.
Turkey. You guys, any of y'all have special plans? You making, you going and eating or?
We're hosting, so we're making all the food for our family.
Okay, cool. How about you, Caroline?
We are going to my mom's, and my grandparents are coming to their new house, so that's super exciting.
Oh, where's that going to be?
So, have you ever heard of the Loomis Fargo truck heist that happened back in like the 90s?
No.
So there was a Loomis Fargo truck heist. They stole like $17 million. They bought this huge house in Kramer Mountain, and my parents bought the house.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's a pretty famous house, but it's exciting. So yeah, they
So
live in.
they stole the money and they bought the house with the money?
They sure did. Yes.
That's hilarious.
And then were raided by the FBI shortly after. So very short-lived, but it's a gorgeous house.
Wow, that's awesome.
I know. I want to see a picture, Caroline. Maybe if they allow it, I want to Oh
see a
yeah.
picture.
No, I can definitely. Yeah, it's like I said, it's a gorgeous house. They're super lucky. So, and I'm excited to have Thanksgiving there. We were there yesterday helping get the house ready.
Well, that's awesome. Well, enjoy yourselves. So, Amy and I are in, I guess, I don't know if the town is Wimberley, but we're near Wimberley, which is in Texas, which is south of where we live. And it's really nice. We were here last year. So it's real nice. We're in a nice house. It kind of sits on top of the mountain. So it's a beautiful view up here, very relaxing. So pray our daughter, Rachel, stays occupied. Don't make it too fast. Now, let me go ahead and get started. We are continuing the lesson on the Holy Spirit, and I feel led in the next probably two more. But like I said, it continues on because of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is probably the least known, which is pretty sad from a standpoint. I'm speaking not for me, but just for my travels and experience and teaching. There's various denominations teach different aspects of the power of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was really given to us as a gift so that we could live the life that God had originally required of us. And so it's very important that we understand the role of the Holy Spirit, and it's directly linked back to Christ and our human form in regards to what Christ taught. And so very important for us to understand, because we cannot live the Christian life. We cannot live the life we're called to live apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, because that is what enables us to be able to do the things that God has required of us. So when you understand that God is spirit in the sense of Father, Jesus talked about that when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well, that the Father is spirit. And so when we understand that Christ in his current form is also spirit, he served his role as the Savior. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is basically God in a spirit form that allows us from the time of creation. All three of them existed. You see that in the book of Genesis in chapter one. And then you see the role of the Holy Spirit in different forms. It's interesting. Amy and I are watching House of David. If y'all like those kind of TV series, I think it's on Prime. Great series about the life of David. And one of the things it talks about is David gets to visit the tabernacle. So the difference between the tabernacle and the temple is the tabernacle was a temporary that was basically built and then deconstructed and moved during the time of the from the time of the Israelites when they went from Egypt to where they ended up being Israel. And then, of course, during the time of Solomon, which was David's son, God commissioned Solomon to build the temple, which was a permanent structure. And so when you, and it mounts all over the scripture. So when Christ died on the cross and the curtain to the holies of holies was rent, that was at the point when the temple was built and it existed in Jerusalem, just to give you a little bit of a historical. But in the time of the tabernacle and during a certain period of the temple, the Holy Spirit dwelled in what we called as the Shekinah glory. It's like a fire. So just to give you an example, when the Holy Spirit's, you would see the Holy Spirit's presence in the scripture. And of course, when Jesus was on this scene, he talked about, when he went away, it was important for him to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come down in spirit form. We see the Holy Spirit's presence in the New Testament because there were certain times that Christ gave the power of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And then, of course, after he died, the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts. So just kind of give you a little bit of a historical perspective. And so when and this lesson is called Life in the Spirit, and this particular one's called Spirit Lead Me, because it's so important, and we're going to get into this next week, and I'm pretty excited about next week as well, is how do we discover our purpose in light of the role of the Holy Spirit in our life? And it's very important because when we understand that God's desire is that we are, one, we're created in his image, and then secondly, we are conformed to his image. And that basically means, and going back a few weeks ago, that when we were created pure, holy, righteous. And then, of course, because of the fall, we were separated from God. And so God's desire through the Holy Spirit is to conform us back into the image of his son. And that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into that process. So I want to start off, and this is actually part five. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I'm going to break that down a little bit. So the scriptures are basically a guide, or laws to basically help us understand the things that God is trying to teach us. So teaching to instruct, rebuking to correct. When you understand rebuke as parents, you all understand that. We do that because we don't want our children to make the wrong decisions. Same thing with the scripture. It gives us a guidelines, parameters of obedience, correcting. And basically, if you make an error, you get corrected so you know and learn from that error. And training, because we are being trained to be warriors for Christ. We don't necessarily use that term in this day and age, but basically, we're being trained through the gifts that God has given us, how to use them for his glory, for his benefit, to bring other people into the kingdom. And so, the scripture, just to kind of help you understand, Jesus, also the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 1 says that the Word was made flesh, Word being scripture. And when you see in Genesis 1, when God created, he created it based on a word. So the power of word is very, very important in regards to the role of the Father, the role of the Son, and the role of the Holy Spirit. And so the scriptures are used basically. That's why when you read a particular scripture, it may not have the same meaning for you as it did yesterday, as it does today. It is a living, breathing word. It's not like me as an author, I write books and those words. There's a revelation that occurs, and that's basically the Holy Spirit working in us to instruct us, to teach us in regards to what we're currently going through in life. And so I'll give you an example. So for me, James chapter 1, I think verse 3, there's a particular verse that I struggled with for most of my life until I really got it and understood. And the verse is, count it all joy when you go through various trials. Well, nobody really likes to count joy. But when I understood that God is working in me to conform me to the image of the Son and get the bad stuff out of me so that the good stuff comes forth, then it makes sense that I should be joyful of that, because it's a process of a character development that's going to make it even better for me. Because ultimately, God has these great and wonderful promises, i.e. Jeremiah 29:11, which is basically says, I have all these wonderful things for you. Things for good for you, and we have he has a plan for us. All of those things come as we surrender, allow him to do the work in us, so that when we do receive those things, we're prepared with a very grateful, thankful heart to receive them and make sure that whatever he gives us, we're also giving back in a sense of helping other people. So that's the power of God's word. It is to train us. It is to rebuke us. It is to correct us. All those wonderful things. And he does that so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work he has planned and purpose for us. So it's like, if you're going to go to any, into any, I mean, as a military person, I was in there for 8 years. We had to be trained, we had to be prepared, and we had a certain specialty, which I think is very interesting. We didn't have like a general knowledge other than, just certain things we had to obey. But each of us had to pick a specialty that we were going to specialize in regards to me. For me, it was nuclear biological chemical warfare. So when we kind of think about God has a specialty for us, and I'll get into this next week in regards to really God helping us understand our role in this world in this time and era. Another good verse is Galatians 4:6. Because you are his sons, we become his children. We are redeemed back into relationship with God because of what Christ had done. And of course, our believing in him. It says, because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls us Abba Father. So once we become, believers, and that's in regards to believing in Christ that he died on the cross and he rose again, then the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts for the very purpose because we have a wicked heart. And I don't need to go into any detail. We all know it's true. It says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's just part of our nature. It's like an inherited part of our nature. We're going to get into the power of Romans 6 through 8 in regards to how do we overcome that sin nature. But God is trying to, through the Holy Spirit, get into our hearts, help us recognize who we are in him, that we are his children. And then because of that, we are heirs to the throne, which basically means if you suddenly get a letter and it says that you are heir to the throne of England, let's just say you are your distant relative, and you now have the ability to go to England, take that letter and say, I am an heir to the king. What do I get for this? And of course, you get all the benefits of being an heir of the king. And so there's so many wonderful things that God has given us, are called his promises, and we're going to get into that, that we now have possession over. And then we now basically take that letter in the sense of our salvation. We take that and we proclaim it as true. We cash it almost like cash it in as a check. Which is it's pretty cool when I think when you think about it. So the spirit that dwells in us is none other than the same spirit that was in Christ. So this is kind of hard for us to understand. At least it is me. So when you think about Christ, most of us think about the physical person of Christ, which is really what we need to in this sense. The physical aspect of who Christ was, the 33 years he lived, he served his purpose. He came, basically sacrificed himself. Lived the 33 years to be a demonstration, a model of what we are to be like. That's why we are conformed into the image of Christ in his character, not his physical image, his character, how he treated people, how he loved people, how he served people. And so it was an example of God's holiness. So when we talk about that here in that first verse, that we're being trained in righteousness. Righteousness is very similar to holiness. It is a character demonstration of behavior to help you understand. And we have all seen it. You've seen people who have just been absolutely kind and loving and gracious and mercy. And you've seen people who have been absolutely ugly, gossip, slander, anger. You see the difference in the behavior, and it's really a reflection of the heart of that person. Not that that means we should judge people, but it helps us understand that what God had done in sending his son is to deal with those heart issues so that we would not hurt and there would not be division within the body of Christ. So when they also rely upon him as the spirit of God's son to reveal Christ in our heart, always to keep alive in us Christ's life. And we're going to talk about this in one of the songs that's going to be playing. That's why Christ talked about in John chapter 15 that we are to abide in him. Everything that we have the ability to do is in the abiding in him, into the finished work of Christ that he did in his life, death and burial and resurrection. And that's where our protection, that's where our salvation is. That's where everything exists in Christ. It's a term that the abiding is the same thing. I think we use the term engrafting is another, where we are engrafted into that relationship, all of our protection, all of our strength, everything we have and will have comes in that relationship. Though through the Spirit, Christ indwelling becomes an actual experience, and as a result, the mind of Christ and his disposition, which is the character, may be formed in us, in me and you, and become manifest. So God's desire through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is that he take control, and which is kind of hard for us to understand. He takes control And but he still allows his choice. So just FYI, it's not like he's going to completely take control. The freedom comes, which we're going to talk about in Romans 6 through 8, the freedom comes in the surrendering. So we begin to desire the things that God desires, which of course are always for our best interest. And in that control, that surrendering process, he then changes our character. He then teaches us how to love other people, especially the ones that are not very kind to us. So the Spirit will fit and equip us for God's service. The Spirit will enable us to overcome the world and its entanglements and to be a witness to what Christ's life and his child may be. He will give us the ability to love others, the ability to love especially those who hate or ignore us. That's the biggest challenge. And Jesus talks about that in the Sermon Mount. Blessed are those who persecute you, because it's an opportunity for you to put into practice through the Holy Spirit working in you to begin to love people who are unlovable. When we get to that point, we are truly beginning to surrender more to Christ, more to the Holy Spirit, to see God glorified in that. Because there's nothing greater than to see somebody who is, and you've heard many, many stories, people who have done horrible things come to Christ. Their life has been transformed. Ultimately, that's what God wants to do for all of us. We're all in various stages of wickedness, per se. None of us obviously have done so many horrible things that we've gone to jail. But part of it is God is working to try to convert all man, all women back to him, because he knows apart from him, we can't do anything. Our tendency is to sin, our tendency is to disobey. And of course, the end result of that is that the wages of sin is death. Part of that is God is trying to prevent us from suffering the consequences of our choices. So obviously, I get very excited about all this stuff. Let me read some scripture and then we're going to get into some songs. So Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. So what basically that Paul is talking about, that when we become believers and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, it's almost like we've seen these TV shows that these remodels, and so they're like, people buy these homes for like $20,000 and they're like fixer-uppers, but they're in horrible shape. That verse talks about us. So we are in horrible shape when the Holy Spirit casts us. And so I find it kind of crazy when, people come to Christ and you go to church and you recognize you get all this shame and guilt and all this stuff. And in some respects, I think people put too much pressure on us to be like Christ, which is why a lot of people will end up pretending. But the Holy Spirit's work is basically to take what he was given to him and then begin to fix it up. That takes process called sanctification. It's really us releasing and surrendering and letting God into every room of our house and beginning to do that remodeling work, to where that house that was bought for $20,000 is now worth $1 million, per se. And that's the benefit, because we benefit because that's our house. So God is just trying to remodel what had been given in regards to this, the consequences of sin that we have done through the things that the choices that we made and fallen victim into slavery to the enemy. So that which he began in regards to calling us out of sin, out of the darkness into the light, so that he can bring to completion what he had planned and purposed for us from the very beginning. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed, I'm sorry, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So the other role of the Holy Spirit, there's multiple roles that he fills. He's transforming who we are. Going back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and that we are to be transformed, our image, our character, through the renewing of his word. And so when we understand what the purpose of the word is, to begin to renew our mind. So once our mind is renewed and it's focused on that which is good and holy and pure and righteous, we are going to begin to transform our behavior and our actions. And so we'll behave more like Christ. And so in Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but Romans 8:29 talks about, for those God foreknew prior to us even being born, he also predestined, he put a mark, a calling, a purpose on our lives. And it has to start with being conformed to the image of Christ. Because when we are conformed to the image of Christ in his character, we will begin to live out that which he promised, that which he purposed, that which he predestined for us. The character element is so vital in the believer's life because that is how we treat other people. And knowing that we're called and purposed to do things to serve other people, we've got to make sure we're doing it with the things that are good, holy, right, pure, which is love. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to take over, the Holy Spirit and the fruits or the character of the Holy Spirit will be exhibited. That's love, joy, patience, peace, all of those wonderful things that we want to begin to have manifested in our life. So the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification is the ongoing process where God makes believers more Christ-like by gradually cleansing and changing them to become more holy. This is the cooperative effort between the believer and the Holy Spirit, requiring both the Spirit's power and the believer's faith and obedience. The Holy Spirit's job is to begin to conform us. Our job is to let him. So when the faith and obedience comes in, so faith is trusting God to do that which he started, because in the process of sanctification, it's going to be very painful because we're changing our old ways. Anybody trying to change a habit or a behavior, it's very hard. Especially if, like, I give you an example, working out. That's very hard to get a pattern of behavior so that you begin to get stronger. It's really like that for everything. Certain things are harder to do. So if you're wanting to change your character, often that's going to require you to do some very difficult things. You may have to change your friends. You may have to, quote unquote, change your family. And basically what that means, you may have to distance yourself from people who are a bad influence on you. There's two things really that will have the biggest impact to you: the people you're around and the books you read, or that which you put into your mind. And so when we understand that, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you on the people that you're hanging with, the things that you're doing, because the Holy Spirit and holy knows those things are going to be bad for you. And so John 14, 26 says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So when we look at our scriptures, typically the words of Christ are in the four, what they call the four gospels, but there's so much more that has not been written that we don't even know about. So when we understand the Holy Spirit's role is to bring about everything that Christ did, everything that Christ said, because the Holy Spirit is Christ in spirit form. And so the Holy Spirit is there to teach us, instruct us about everything we need to live the life we're called to live, the life to be successful. So if you want to be successful in life, listen to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in another lesson. Probably my last lesson is, how do we hear from the Holy Spirit on a regular basis? Because there's so much, because it's not words like you're hearing. The Holy Spirit typically will not speak in a form like that I'm speaking in. He will speak in his word, in God's word. He will speak through other people. He will speak through your intuition. But I will give you a clue. I will give you a clue, because this is important. The key to hearing the Holy Spirit is the two greatest laws that God gave us. And he's basically, Christ says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and everything else, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. If we focus on those two things, the voice of God will be made very clear to us. The other component of that, just to give you a clue, is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It is through the surrendering process. It is through the transformation process. It is the renewing of our mind process as we allow God's word to speak through us. Because it's very important. Remember, the word of God is a living word. So when we think about and fill our minds with God's word, we are filling our mind with God. So when we go through our daily struggles or our daily journey, God is going to speak to us through his Holy Spirit. He's going to bring to our remembrance his word that says, "Oh, I'm to trust you in all things, not lean on my own understanding. In all thy ways, I acknowledge you, and you'll direct my path." Okay, got it. That's how God's word works to give us the guidance and the direction we need. So who's ready to hear some songs? So I found some great songs, and I hope you all enjoy them. Let me go ahead and get them started. And the first one is Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. Let me turn my picture off so you don't miss out to see me.
Thank you.
Song. Next song is Christ in Me, and I can't stress enough what that means. And that's why the any victory, anything that we truly want to accomplish in life, and this runs contrary to human thinking, but it really is in the surrendering process of who we are, surrender to the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, can manifest and be everything God called us to be. That is the way God had preordained it. He said predestined. And it's through that process of surrender. And in the surrendering process, God is glorified in that. And of course, we are blessed as well. But God gets the glory. He always does because he's the creator. The creation never gets the glory, always the creator. But the creation is blessed because of that surrender.
Strength remains. You lift me up through every pain. Not I, but Christ, my victory. The hope of glory lives in me. The cross has spoken, grace has won. Your spirit moves, your will be done. I lay my life at Calvary, so you may shine through all I be. No longer bound, my heart.
Share something real quick with you just came to mind. When we think about, and we don't like to necessarily think about this, but it was a necessary component for Christ to live out his purpose. And of course, that was to die on the cross. Not that God is asking us to do that in the physical sense. He is in the emotional, in the spiritual sense, because Christ is to take up our cross daily. And that is the denial of the things that are pleasing us. And I think about it, that Christ endured the cross, knowing in the garden he had surrendered his will, said, not thy will, but not my will, but thy will be done. He did that because he knew on the other side of the suffering, on the other side of fulfilling his purpose, was the glory. And he did that because he knew that ultimately what was most important was not saving himself, but the ultimate glory of saving mankind. He died to himself so that mankind, you and I, could be saved and have a relationship. And God is asking us in some respects to do the same thing, because the things that we're holding back, God is going to multiply. And it's in the surrendering. It's in that we see that in regards to when he talks to the rich young ruler about basically giving everything he possessed so that he can have that much more. And we've got to give God the opportunity to, through the power of surrender, to multiply the very things that we're afraid to give him. Because once we surrender that over to him, the freedom we have and the blessings of what he wants to give us once we let those things go. So the next song was Fall Like Fire, Holy Spirit, Come Alive.
Did you hear the wind that tore through fear? Did you feel the fire that made the silence disappear? One breath from heaven shook the ground, and timid hearts trumpets began to sound. Oh, Holy Spirit, we are listening now. You are the whisper, you are the roar. Open the heavens, let your glory pour. We're ready, we're waiting. Holy Spirit, come. We were hiding behind the locked door. Ashes in our chest, afraid of the war. But when you came, like a rushing wind, we rose again, we burned within. No fear could stay when you stepped in. Breathe in me, awaken boldness. Flood my soul with holy closeness. Break the chains with sacred sound. Let dead men dance. Resound, tongues of fire, rest on me. This is my divine decree.
We're going to get into Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 soon, but it's interesting that the last part of the lyric says, now I am free because of what Christ has done. And when you're free and you're living and abiding in Christ, we're able to live out that predestined destiny that God had pre-established before all time, that we are to walk and live in that destiny, to basically leave, you know, it's just, I just finished my book. Leaving a legacy has everything to do with living the destiny we are called to live fearless. And, you know, one of the things I'm going to talk about, I don't know if it'll be next week or soon, and I'm going to take you through a journey in Psalms 23, which basically talks about walking in the midst of your enemies, walking in the times when it's fearful, but knowing that he who is with you, guides you, leads you, the Holy Spirit, protects us. And so often when Christ was with his disciples, when circumstances around dictated fear, he questioned them and he says, where's your faith? And when we walk in such an intimate relationship with God the Father, we will have no fear. Or when we do have fear, we will recognize he's got us, he's holding us. And we don't need to give into fear because fear is of the enemy. Last song I'm going to share with you is Spirit Lead Me, because it's in and allowing him, the Spirit, to lead us. He will lead us into the future that God had predestined for us. And we can't even, it talks about, you know, God has so many wonderful things that we can't, our dreams can't even, what God wants to provide for us. And if we allow the Spirit to lead us, he will lead us in those riches and those wonderful things that God had planned and predestined for us in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is my worship. This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. I don't wanna follow my own ways. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me. Oh, Spirit, lead me. It felt like a burden. Say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. Teach me how to follow in your way. I'm done chasing feelings. This is the cup you have for me. I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. You're the only truth, the life, the way. I'm done chasing feeling. Spirit.
I want to share interesting one of the lyrics that came that spoke to me is you remind me of my worth, and I want to kind of compare it because in the spirit realm you obviously have the spirits of war against us, war against the flesh, that are in direct conflict with the war in the spirit, and you see that throughout scripture. I won't get into detail about that, but the flesh is the goal of the enemy, because if he can get us enslaved to the flesh, and we all kind of know what those are, we will go to some verses about that. And when we succumb to the slavery and the temptation, and Satan, our enemy, is titled many, many titles, Father of Lies, Accuser of the Brethren, which basically is he gains and finds absolute joy when we fall in regards to temptation, because he's quick on his heels to remind us that we're not worthy. And of course, the Holy Spirit reminds us that we are worthy in spite of our sin. Because remember, Christ went to the cross to deal with the sin. And once we get into Romans chapter 6 and 7, that battle still wages. And that's why surrender is so vital. The only way we can beat the enemy is as we draw close to God, in relationship with him, and we just relinquish our control, i.e., over to the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can manifest in us and fight our battles. Because Christ says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so when we understand the battle we face is not ours, it's God's. All he's asking us to do is to lay down our weapons so that he can fight those battles for us. Of course, we have to do certain things. We have to avoid those things that are going to bring temptation to us. And so let me stop. Sorry, I was meant to do the other one. Share the that one. And hopefully that will pop back. Yeah, you go. I've got about 10 more minutes. I do want to dive into chapter 6 of Romans because I think it's important. But I said, no matter how many promises, this is key. And we're talking about the faith element. I don't want to get too far into this. But 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And that is vital to understand. It's not that God is going to have a Christmas wish. You ask everything, he's going to give it to you. They are in Christ in regards to absolute surrender. God may possibly give you those things on your quote unquote wish, only if he knows that you're going to take good care of them. And only if you know that those things he gives you are for the purpose of blessing you and also blessing other people through you. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. When we think about God's promises, we must always keep in mind that they are given for the fulfillment of his ultimate purpose, which is developing our character, carrying out his plans, i.e., we are predestined to complete his plans and purposes for our lives, and empowering us to be the light in the world. So if we understand the things that we're asking, if they're going to develop our character, are they also going to develop his plans for our life, which is to bless us, i.e. Jeremiah 20:11, and is also empowering us to be the light in the world, to be able to be a witness to other people, to be able to serve and help other people. When Jesus is our goal, i.e. love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, he is actively shaping our lives and what's important to us. When that's the case, we can know for certain that his promises will be fulfilled for us, i.e. Psalms, God will give you the desires of your heart. Galatians. Now, this kind of gets into the challenge between the flesh and the spirit. I want to read it because it's very important. And these are the things that we all struggle with. Most of us struggle with. So Galatians 5, written by Paul, says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. We have been given freedom at the cross when Christ said it's finished. What we don't do is we don't claim that in regards to our minds. We don't have our minds transforming, believing that we're truly free, because in our minds, we still have that battle waging. So, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, you will be destroyed." So Paul is basically saying, in your freedom, don't use your freedom to basically hurt your brother, because it's in our behavior, in our relationship, seems to indicate. And Christ said, "You shall know them by their fruits." If your heart is surrendered, if your heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, learning to love, you're going to face challenges with your neighbor, because your neighbor, who is not yet quote unquote been sanctified, may behave in the flesh. And it's just a reminder for us that we're all in this process, and that's why we need to be forgiving and loving of one another. It says, don't turn, i.e., bite and devour each other, otherwise it will be to destroy you yourself. So it says, so I say, Paul's saying, walk by the Spirit, which is the surrendering process. Allow the Holy Spirit to basically, what's the word I'm looking for? Often we want to be the judge, jury, and punisher. And we need to give that over to God, so that God can deal with the issue of the person we're struggling with. So walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, because of the sin nature in us. And the Spirit, which is contrary to the flesh, complete obedience to God. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what. This conflict, i.e., goes back to the garden. The whole knowledge of the fruit of the tree of good and evil is the good, the thing we want to do by surrender to the Spirit, and evil, the surrender to the flesh. And that's part of our sin nature that we struggle with. So, but if you were led by the Spirit, which basically means if you are surrendered with a desire to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then you're not under the law. The law is basically a mirror to basically, this is what you shouldn't do. And you don't want to be restricted by the law. You've been set free from the law, i.e., by being led by the Spirit. The acts, works of the flesh, are obvious. And these are just a few examples. There's obviously much more. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. These are all things that ultimately hurt one another and destroy relationships, which is why they're recognized as works of the flesh. God's desire is that we bring unity in righteousness and holiness, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. These very actions are just the outworking of the sin nature within us, failing to surrender to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who turn their hearts away from God and are not willing to allow the Holy Spirit. Because all of these different things, because believe me, I probably have done all of them, just as a little confession, but they were leading towards a destruction of my life. And the God who created me, the God who loved me, the ultimate father that I've always desired, did not want me to destroy that which he created. And so he led me out of those things. I still struggle with many of them, just like you all do. But part of that surrendering process and that sanctification process is so that I would be able to be led by the Spirit, and the responses that I have and the temptations that we all struggle with, that they would be just through the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that God wants us to be exhibited as free. Free from the bondage, free from the slavery, free from the temptations. It says, against such thing, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking each other. I have 3 minutes, so I'm going to dive into Romans chapter 6. I don't want to keep putting you guys out. I'm just going to kind of take this verse by verse, and we'll just read a few of them, because it's very important, because Paul sets the stage from Romans chapter 6 to basically the glorification of what happens in Romans chapter 8, recognizing that we can't, as Christ said, we can't do anything apart from him. It's because of his finished work that we are now free. And so Paul is saying here, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? That which Christ had done, we can't continue to sin. And then he said, by no means, we are those who have died to sin. which is a conscious awareness that because of Christ's death on the cross, we are no longer slaves to disobedience. Remember, the battle that enemy is waging against us is in our mind. If we truly recognize, because Christ, and just to help you all understand in context, when Adam and Eve sinned, they turned over the keys, quote unquote, keys of the world over to Satan. That's why when Christ was tempted, Satan actually had authority because it was given to him because of man's disobedience. Christ ultimately, because of his death and offering, which is this sacrificial offering that was done throughout the Old Testament, was finally done. He sacrificed his blood, a pure bed, pure blood, basically bought man back from the authority that was given to Satan. He redeemed man, and then because ultimately from his death and offering, and then his victory over death, he gave us the ultimate freedom that we are no longer in bondage to the sin nature that happened in the garden. That is so powerful for us to meditate on. Our freedom and victory was already done for us. What we struggle with is that victory, which was done for us 2,000 plus years ago, we've got to recognize it in our brain, in our mind. That's why the power of belief is so important. We also have to recognize that the sin nature that still dwells within us is the part we struggle with. That's why Christ said we are to die to ourselves and surrender. That's when you think about all these different verses that I've been sharing that are in the scripture, the victory comes through the surrender. And as we recognize, as Paul's saying, we are no longer slaves. We don't have to continue to succumb to surrender to the enemy and be slaves. We can be victorious. We've been given the Holy Spirit through what Christ has done for us to teach us, to instruct us how to overcome the enemy. He says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, he will flee. The enemy is just working on borrowed time. He has already been defeated. And Paul basically through Romans chapter 6 through 8 walks us through that process. That because of what Christ has done, we are now victorious and we need to walk in that. And God did it primarily, and it's going to be great when you get to Romans chapter 8, because of his amazing love for us. It's nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if we walk and recognize the power of his love, we will have victory every day. Nobody wants to live as a slave. But recognize, I'm going to throw a twist here. We are slaves when we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit, but we're slaves of joy. We're slaves of love. We're slaves of freedom. And so we've got to choose which slaver do we want? Do we want the one that's going to be free, or we don't want the one that's going to be in bondage, that's going to ultimately destroy? Because ultimately, the enemy just wants to destroy us. He hates us because we were basically put in a higher plane than he was. And because of his pride and disobedience and arrogance, he hates God and he hates what God created. And so I wish I could dive into more of such great stuff. But we're going to get into it next week. We're going to talk a little bit more in Romans chapter 6 and hopefully get into chapter 7. But I want to begin to tell you and walk you through the process the Holy Spirit begins to teach us about our predestination, about our calling, about what God is trying to pour into us so that we would recognize at the end of our life, we can basically face God and say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. We can talk about the talents that God gives us and how he wants us to multiply those talents. And when we do multiply those talents, we live the calling and the life that God's called for us. So I get so excited. So, okay, let me close in prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, how you are guiding and leading us in truth. And Father, may we just hold up the banner of truth, that we hold up all that you've given us and as light, and recognize, Lord, that you've called us for a purpose and we are to serve you, to love you. And so thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to put into our life today. May we just recognize that everything you do has a purpose, and we are just to simply to surrender to you. And allow your Holy Spirit to teach us and instruct us in all things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.